All right, now's the time for our message this morning. And as you can see, the title of this, the message is Courage for the Sake of the Gospel. Bottom line is, if you don't stand up for something, you will wind up falling for anything. And to bring us this morning's word, we've got our church chairman, Derek Johnson, and he's going to preach on that from 2 Thessalonians 3, 1 through 5. Welcome, Derek.
Good morning. Good morning, guys. There we go. That's much better. You know, as I was getting ready this morning, was sitting with Adam. We always pray before we get started. And as we were praying, we were closing out our prayer this morning, and I'm sitting there and Adam's praying, and I said, the Lord said, you know what? This is Memorial Day weekend. And Memorial Day weekend, we celebrate the lives of those men and women who have given of themselves for our country and for our freedoms. And I thought it fitting that the title of our message today would be Courage for the Sake of the Gospel. But I never put the two together when I was putting it together, but as they always say, the Lord knows. Amen? Amen. I just want to give commend Chris for sending out the carrier pigeons for making sure that everybody wore the right color shirt. Some of us got the message and some of us did not. So let's get started. Lord, we want to thank you for this Memorial Day weekend, and we want to thank you for your message. Let the words of my heart just be edifying, and may you be glorified in them. May they be received with love, with all grace and tenderness. We thank you for your Son, Jesus. In his name we pray. Amen. Well, our word is going to come from 2 Thessalonians 3, beginning at verse 1 through 5. But before I get into it, I just want to open up with a little bit of something that's been weighing on me a little bit, and it's about the person of Jesus Christ, and that's my question: what do you do with Jesus Christ, this man Jesus, right? When he asks you the question, what do you seek, or whom do you seek? How would you respond? Some of us respond in many different ways, and my question is, what is it about the gospel and your response that draws you in to intimately trust and follow him? My questions are, does your response say that I am willing to give completely of myself to love God with all my heart, soul, and mind, and to love my neighbor as myself? I'm asking the question, are you curious to know who Christ is just for the sake of curiosity? Or does your curiosity say that your desire for him has you looking for something more and something greater? Or are you just trying to find out enough as to slander, persecute, even prosecute him because you feel that he is a threat to your way of living, to your way of life, or whatever that means? You see, our desire to know him can help us see the reality of his truthfulness, of the claim that I am a sinner lost to destruction, and to be separated from God would be a living hell. But a right response will also grant us the courage and compel you with the same courage to go with haste and to share with as many as I possibly can the good news of his gospel. Christ is the way, the truth, and the life. Amen? But see, this desire to go will cost us something. How much am I willing to pay for my commitment to follow Christ? That's my question. How much, Derek, are you willing to pay for this sacrifice to follow him? How much are you willing to give up? And that's my question to you. And so my question comes from Matthew in chapter 10, where Jesus is talking to his disciples, right? Do you remember that? Where he said, finally, brothers, well, he says, behold, I am sending you out as sheep in the midst of wolves. He said, beware of men who will deliver you over to the courts and flog you in their synagogues. He says, beware, because you will be dragged before their kings and governors for his name's sake. He goes on to say that brother will deliver brother over to death, father of his child. Children will rise against parents and have them put to death. And you will be hated for his name's sake. He goes on to say, do not fear those who kill the body but cannot kill the soul. Rather, fear him who can destroy the body and soul in hell. So my question, who do you choose? What side do you choose? Do you choose Republican, Democrat? Do you choose Iron Man versus Captain America? Better yet, the Black Panther, right? Back in Matthew, it says, whoever loves his father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. And whoever loves son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. And whoever does not take up his cross and follow me is not worthy of me. Whoever finds his life will lose it, and whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. There are eternal implications to the choices we make. Look at the lives of the apostles. Their choice, follow Christ for the sake of the gospel. Result, the message spreads throughout the region. Look at the list that I have up on the screen. It says there's Constantine and Athanasius. You find Augustine to Aquinas, Wycliffe to John Huss, Martin Luther, Tyndale, Calvin, Wilberforce, Edwards, Haynes, Paine, Grimke. All these people, lives given for the sake of the gospel, and because of their sacrifice, all throughout the generations, we are benefactors. We are benefactors for their sacrifices. Courage for the sake of the gospel is the realization that the love of God and his kingdom must take precedence over every other human relationship and developed system of laws that are contrary to his justice and will. If you want to turn into your pew Bibles to the Second Thessalonians, we'll read there. I'm going to be reading from the ESV. You can find it on page 1844. And the word says, finally, brothers and sisters, pray for us. Pray that the word of the Lord may speed ahead and be honored, glorified, as happened among you, and that we may be delivered from wicked and evil men, for not all have faith. But the Lord is faithful. He will establish you and guard you against the evil one. And we have confidence in the Lord about you, that you are doing and will do the things that we command. May the Lord direct your hearts to the love of God and to the steadfastness of Christ. So, since in your bulletins there's a blank page in there, place for you to write, take notes. But since we have engineers and systematic theologues, we have to have a point for the sake of the point. And so I'd be remiss if I didn't indulge you with your points. So point one. Develop a prayer life with hearts that feel and eyes that see the global implications of the impact our lives have for the sake of the gospel. Now, global is a play of words. It's a play of words. It basically means local and global. I heard this word used several years ago by some pastors at a pastor's conference. And they were talking about the missiological implications of our lives locally as we expand it globally. And Jeff gave us a beautiful example of that on Wednesday, and how this church's impact with our ESL ministry reflects that. All right? Amen. So if we look down at our text, my question to you is, who do you see represented in these verses, in these first five verses? That's my question to you. When you look at it and you read through it, who do you see represented? Can you tell me? Anybody? Okay. Anybody else? Okay. Anybody else? All right. Anybody else? Okay. I've broken it down into four characters. There's God. There's those carrying out the word. There's those accepting his word, and there are those that reject it. God is calling you to go into the world and declare his glory, and he may be training those of you who are sharing the gospel with to go. But there are some who just won't like what you're doing and flat out will reject your message. But how exciting is it to think that you are being prepared, or you are preparing someone else to go out and share his message? Point two. Paul says, pray that the word of the Lord may speed ahead. Now, it was something that was drawing me to this word speed ahead that just stuck out like a sore thumb for me. And I kept reflecting on it, praying on it, and the more I prayed on it, I said, look, Paul was trying to convey that as we go out, is that we exert ourselves to strive hard to spend our strength performing or attaining to something, and that something is to share the gospel of Jesus Christ. Friends, as followers of Christ, we must pray that we have strength to and zeal to spend our life's energy for the sake of the gospel. And in so doing, the Lord's word will not return void. Pray for barriers to be minimized or removed. Remember the list we just noted. There are those who are determined to thwart the work of the Lord. And back in chapter 2, we were told about the Antichrist. Jeff told us these are people that are against God We're told these people are drowning in their refusal to love the truth and to delight in their wickedness. Here, as we look, it says, not only are they wicked, but not everyone has faith. For some, the gospel is a threat to their way of life. Look at what happened to Paul when Paul cast out the spirit of divination from the slave girl back in Acts 16, beginning at verse 16. There's a lot up there. I don't expect you to read it. But in Acts 16, there was this slave girl that was, she was the property of these men. And she was like a fortune teller. And these guys were making money off of her. And when Paul came into the region, when Paul and his crew came through, he was going around, he was spreading the message. And this girl came and she started antagonizing him. She said, "This guy's of the Lord. This guy's of the Lord." And she was getting on Paul's nerves, and Paul got ticked. It's what the word says. He got a little PO'd, and he said, "Come out." He cast this spirit of divination out of this girl, and she couldn't make these guys any money anymore, right? But because of Paul's action, the men who profited from her, they got mad. And so they drug him, had him thrown in jail, and just, you know, they wanted to leave him there. Heck, if they had their way, they probably would have had him killed. But see, there are people that we come in contact with as we go out into the world that are just like that. When we share the message of the gospel with people, there are going to be those who just don't like what you have to say because it's going to cost them something too. Their way of living, they want to be lost and left in their sinful state just because they like to be there. As I stand here and talk about it, I'm thinking about pigs in slop. They just love to waddle in their crap, right? Back in 2 Thessalonians 3, we find the beauty in the statement where it says, "Not all have faith." And that tells me there are some who do have faith. And the obstacles that stand in our way are temporary setbacks for God's glory. And the victory is that God is faithful. God's faithfulness is directly tied to his character. And because of it, he is not one should lie. All throughout Scripture, God reminds us that he keeps his promises. He is a covenant keeper, and he will establish you. In Isaiah 28:16, the word says, "I am the one who has laid, I am laying a foundation in Zion, a stone, a tested stone, a precious cornerstone of sure foundation. And whoever believes will not be in haste, and I will make justice the line and righteousness the plumb line." As you've received Christ Jesus the Lord, walk in him, rooted and built up and established in faith. Today, all across the United States in various denominations, many have allowed the voice of culture to force them to take on the identities that are contrary to the truths of Scripture. You know, I'm a car salesman. And one of my customers is in one of these denominations. His role is that like Garth, our conference superintendent. Right? And about 5, maybe 6 years ago, nicest guy in the world. I love him to death. I've sold him a bunch of cars. I know his family and all of that. We had a conversation, and we were talking about the homosexual agenda, all right? Now, there was a time where he was trying to get me to join their denomination. He wanted me to consider coming alongside of them. But to be a minister in the presbytery, you have to be seminary trained. You have to have your college degree and so on and so forth. I don't have a college degree. I'm not seminary trained. And honestly, I wasn't sure if I had the time to commit to go through that process. But in our discussion, this seminary trained, college educated leader was telling me the reasons why they can accept some of the positions that they were beginning to adhere to. This same denomination, 2 years ago in Detroit, voted to allow this homosexual agenda and for those to serve as pastors in their same denomination. Disengagement and seclusion in the face of tyranny is not the answer. Let me repeat that. Disengagement and seclusion in the face of tyranny is not the answer. We have the confidence in God to speak His truths, and no matter the price, we have to speak. No matter the cost, we have to speak. Paul points out in verse 4, he says that we have the confidence in the Lord about you, that you are doing and will do the things we command. It is the witness of history that whenever separation is made between liberty and justice, neither survive. When bad men combine and the good must associate, else they fall one by one. An unpitied sacrifice in a contemptible struggle. Comfort, complicity, complacency, and cost are contagious. Let me repeat that. Comfort, complicity, cost, and complacency are contagious. All that is necessary for the triumph of evil is that good men and women do nothing. Bad men need nothing more to compass their ends than that good men and women should look on and do nothing, to say nothing, to stand up for the truth, to stand up for God's righteousness, to stand up for God's holiness. We have a sure foundation in Christ Jesus. We must remember that. I started this conversation about our desire to know Christ. So what's it going to be? How should we respond to the question, what do you seek? The answer affects our witness. Paul's instructions are to pray. Pray for the word of the Lord to speed ahead and be glorified. Pray for obstacles to be moved and removed. Know, even in mankind's faithlessness, God remains faithful, and He gets the glory as we, His church, are established. We have the confidence to know that the seeds we are planting will fulfill God's will by the evidence of their act of faith. Worship team, you guys can come on up. So now may the Lord direct your hearts to the love of God and to the steadfastness of Jesus Christ. Amen.